Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Buffalo Happy Hour. Mike, what's up?
Derek, we traveled.
We did.
We went north. Not too far north, but north. But we are back with our friends at their new location, essentially. But we have so much to catch up on. It's been 2 years. Yep. So for those that remember, we were actually at a separate location in... It's technically... The first location, is it technically North Buffalo or is it still Kenmore?
North Buffalo.
North Buffalo? Okay. Yeah. Well, we're back... Further north, it's sweet. We'll start with introductions, titles, and then we'll dive into everything that's happened in the last 2 years because it's an insane amount.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
That's what we got.
AJ Giordano, COO, co-owner, handle the day-to-day operations in the restaurant, the hiring, the firing, the staffing, you know, pretty much anything that has to do with operations in the restaurant. It's been an awesome time. We've come a very long way in the last 2 years. The first time you interviewed us, we were Munch Buffalo. Mm-hmm. We had some crazy stuff happen. Wingnuts happened to be part of it, and we were able to collab with the owners of Wingnuts and form a partnership. And we kind of put Munch on the back burner and formed Wingnuts Buffalo. And it's been a wild ride since. And, you know, I'll let Chris kind of elaborate on that.
Chris Cavallari, I'm the co-owner and CEO of Wingnuts. And yeah, just adding on to what AJ said, it's been a wild ride. Since 2 years ago, we've seen a lot of progress with you guys. There's been a lot of progress with us. So we're really excited to jump into it and really talk more details about, you know, our short-term and long-term plans.
So how did you guys collab with the owners of Wingnuts? Because it was... A lot of people have heard that we were interviewing you, and they're locals that are unbelievably obsessed. They come here on lunch. It's like a big thing. And they're like, okay, who are you sitting down with? And I'm like, calm down. I get it. You're an OG. But, like, how did that whole story come about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been just a fan of Wingnuts since, like, 2016 when I was first introduced to it. A friend of mine that I was a coworker said, you got to try these wings. They're the best in Buffalo, maybe the best in the world. And I was just like, I grew up here. I've never even heard of this place, Wingnuts. What are you talking about? And then we went, and I was just sitting there afterwards, like, I think I had the best meal of my life. It was just unbelievable. And I'm like, I've been telling all my friends and family about it, and years went on, and they were doing well. You know, they were growing there. They had the Barstool exposure. They couldn't even have their phones plugged in anymore. They were doing Facebook messages for orders. It was madness. And they were doing, like, 1,000 wings a day and just, like, excited and thrilled about it, where we're doing 1,000 before noon here. So Jesus. We really helped them scale up. But the way we partnered with them is just like anybody else. I was just ordering through Facebook Messenger. And this was in March of 22, right about the time when we did the podcast with you guys. And they said they were in poor health. They didn't know if they were going to reopen. And we went and met with them. And I was like, you guys can't let these wings die. Like, they're way too good. So we decided to partner with them. We opened our first Wingnuts location in July of 22, and then the second location inside Froth Brewing in December.
What is different about these wings compared to other locations in Buffalo?
I'm going to touch on that. It is size, sauciness, crunch. We get the biggest wings we can find, which some people aren't, you know, super thrilled about, but they're the juiciest. We do a light coating. People say they're breaded. They're not breaded. It's a very light, light coating. It crisps the wing up substantially, and it helps the sauce adhere to it without making it soggy. So it's a buffalo wing with a twist. You know, we're kind of bastardizing a buffalo product by coating it. We're going against everybody else and doing our own thing. But it's just, these sauces are completely unique. They're all homemade. We use very high quality ingredients to make all of our sauces. And, you know, we offer a wing flight where you can try all 12. Damn. So that's pretty unique to our restaurant. I've looked around and hadn't seen it at any other places yet. So I thought it would be a cool idea to give people the opportunity to try all 12 flavors if they couldn't make up their mind.
So when you say that you bastardize something buffalo, can you go into that a little bit more? Because, I mean, we got people outside of Buffalo. So, like, what is your traditional buffalo wing, and then how did you guys kind of change it?
Well, your traditional buffalo wing, you drop it in the fryer for 15 minutes. Sometimes you double fry it, drop it back down for a few minutes, and it's crispy, and then you hit it with the sauce. And most of the time, it's Frank's and butter. A lot of places really don't go too much further than that. It's just the more butter you add, the less spicy it is. So it's pretty much a simple thing, or it's, you know, a store-bought barbecue sauce that they might doctor up a little bit. But we literally, you know, we are reducing vinegar, adding sugar, you know, using all kinds of other ingredients, raw garlic, all fresh stuff to make our sauces. You know, we got the Wingnut signature sauce. It's probably one of the most unique sauces you'll ever try. The first time I tried it, I looked at Chris and I was like, you know, this is after cooking for 20 years, making wings, any which way you can make them, smoking them, roasting them, grilling them in coals, doing anything to them. I had these wings. I look at Chris and I go, "What the hell do I know?"
You know, they're just so good. Like, they're sweet. They're tangy.
Crispy bite. It's unbelievable.
Because that was one of the biggest things at Munch is the menu. Like,
sure.
The menu there was just like, "What is this?" And then you were smiling and you're like, "Hey, man!" Like, just inspiration at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then came into the kitchen the next morning and trying to figure out if I could recreate what I envisioned, and here we are. You know, so. That's super exciting. Now, with this location, what was that transition like? Because this is gigantic compared to where we first met you guys.
Yeah, it was a massive build out. It wasn't just, you know, turnkey, come in and, you know, redo the signage. We had to paint. We had to put a new HVAC system in. We had to put a new grease trap in, brand new flooring, a lot of new TVs, equipment. Brand new equipment. We have a new pizza oven there as well, because we can do about 16 to 20 large pizzas. So it was definitely a big transformation. Santora's was here for many years. They did very well here. And we just wanted to make it our own and really transition it. And specifically this room we're in right here, this is our banquet room called Room 40. This is where we do private events and parties. And it's been awesome. We're booked every single weekend. And it's a great space where you're still in the mix in Wingnuts, but you also have your private space, kind of like more of like a speakeasy vibe back here with the brick wall.
Wingnuts business class.
Yep.
We like to think of it.
Love that.
Your food's ready at a certain time. You come in, you sit down, you have a dedicated server for the whole room. They take your drink order. There's TVs, there's a projector. You can put business, you know, PowerPoints up, whatever you want to do. And, you know, and you don't have to wait for anything, and everything's brought to you. It's really nice.
Was that what you guys were aiming for, or was it just opportunistic that it came up and you're like, we can make this work and this is how we'll make it?
Super opportunistic. Okay. It was, you know, we backed out of this deal a couple times. We were really kind of skeptical of whether or not we would make it work, but the location, it just kept bringing us back. It's like you're right off the thruway. You got the Marriott next door, which we just found out they sold for $30 million. They've renovated the entire place. The outside is next. You got the DoubleTree next door. There's six hotels. You got the Pepsi or the whatever it's called now, Norktown Center for the hockey tournaments. I mean, there's weekends where we get 8 or 9 40-person walk-ins from the hockey tournaments. They're like, "We heard about you guys on Barstool," and then they just flood. And it's this whole room is full. There's kids running around everywhere playing bubble hockey, and you know, it's awesome. It's a family restaurant. It's really, you know, with the brewery, it was a little smaller. It was more like, you know. It's not as much of a family restaurant as it is, you know, come in, have a few beers, hang out. This is truly bring in your family. We'll host you. You have a great time, good experience with the servers. You can have drinks. We have a wonderful cocktail menu. We have some great bourbons we'll get into later. You know, it's really a great experience. It's the overall family experience. Sure. You know?
Yeah. 41 beers on tap too. So
damn.
Really, really good selection of draft beer.
It's huge, because the other thing that you didn't mention, that from a business class experience, we're surrounded by Kaleida.
Of course.
And Kaleida Health is just a gigantic embodiment of healthcare in Buffalo for those that are not local, but it's huge. Like Children's OSHI is within Kaleida Health, and obviously Josh Allen's grandmother's donation at the Children's Hospital and all that, like that whole deal. But there's the Kaleida Health lab across the street. Millard Fillmore is literally around the corner. And
it's where I just had my baby. We brought them all wings and pizza.
Cheers, man. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be like one of the biggest opportunities that you can have here, especially from a PowerPoint standpoint. That's what they live on.
Being really close to UB as well. We have a really great partnership with them.
Yep.
Not only just the students, but also the faculty and staff.
Coaches.
We just had the new coach come in for the football team. He did a podcast here up front. So, yeah, we do a lot with UB and the students as well.
So back when you guys were Munch, you did wings there too, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. We did really good wings.
What was it tough to kind of come to something like this and say, did you have to scratch everything and start over to take what they believed was wing nuts and kind of recreate that? Or like, what was that like?
So not really, a little bit we had to, because these wings, when you try them, you're going to understand. But we took a lot of the creativity with Munch and kind of focused it on other parts of the menu. We created some really cool pizzas. We did a blueberry jalapeno prosciutto pizza last week. We did a bunch of different kinds of crazy stuffies. Stuffies are day-old pizza bread that we turn into a loaf of bread. And we cut it in half, hollow out all the extra dough, and then we stuff it with Philly cheesesteak or turkey club or whatever. We got all kind. It's like a sub, but in the shape of a sandwich. Yeah. Really, really good. Yeah. Some cool appetizers. Every week we do a new wing flavor, some sort of log of, you know, this week we're doing a street corn log for Cinco de Mayo. It's really popular. We already sold about 100 orders of them. You know, we try to take that creativity and keep it fostering within the specials, and you know, we keep the menu pretty simple. It's roast beef, pizza, some really cool salads and things like that, but for overall we really try to get creative with the specials.
And we had to rein it in a bit, you know, with Munch. We obviously had like the Just Trust Us, it was like chef's creation and stuff like that, but with the bi-weekly we still do have a lot of that creativity, and I think that allows us not only from the food aspect but also from the cocktails and beer aspect as well to kind of put our own little twist on it.
So what kind of events do you guys either have coming up or have you already knocked off the list since you've came to this location?
Yeah, we had a Jefferson bourbon tasting last month. We had the owner and president of Jefferson come in and just talk about where he started, how he really came to be, and really talking about the brand. And that was really impactful because our reps over at Southern were like, we've done events for years and he's never showed up. So him showing up was a really, really big deal. We also have a bourbon tasting next month, or almost next month, coming up here quick with April. It's May 16th. It's from 6 to 9, available through our website if anybody's available. It's going to be 5 courses. AJ put some really, really good stuff together, and then we're doing all Jefferson cocktails and creations off that as well. And
which we are having now, as we speak. Not a sponsor, but it's good juice.
So when you talk about 5 courses, what, because that's not what you normally offer here, right? Like, it's not just like 5 different types of wings. So from a course, is that where you can start? Because you're a trained chef, right?
Yes.
Like, that's where you can go back and rewatch the Munch interview, but you're a chef at heart, which is interesting that now you're transitioning to wings, because I feel like either wings mostly in the area are a pizzeria does it, where they're not a chef, they just make pizza. No offense to Buffalo Places, but they're a pizzeria and they just happen to make a good wing, and then that's the go-to spot. But there's very few places where the person is a trained chef and they're taking that approach to making wings. So I guess to get back to the original question, the 5-course meal, is that where you can start getting some of your creativity and some of the food back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to plan these dinners. You know, we're trying to really foster a cool environment here, so it's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you still get your wings, everything. That's what 80% of the people are going to come for. But we also want this to be like an event space where we have cool bourbon companies come in. It was really cool to meet the owner of Jefferson's because he bastardized bourbon. And that's what we're doing to the Buffalo Wing. He was transporting it on a ship. It got stuck at sea. It was hit by a couple hurricanes and spilled most of his hull. And then the ones that didn't spill, he's like, wow, this is the best bourbon I've ever had. It got all this exposure to the oak and, you know, all the casks and stuff. And it's kind of like he took the bourbon industry and flipped it on its head and started doing things, you know, aging bourbon in extreme environments, cold, hot, you know, salty, humid, and got all these crazy results. And we started coating our wings and making these different sauces, and we've had these crazy results. But as far as the bourbon dinner goes, we're, you know, I'm doing some stuff with brisket. We're going to do a burnt ends course with one of the Jeffersons. We're going to do a smoked steelhead rillette, which is a like steelhead and cream cheese dip with a homemade cracker with another one of them with the Ocean. We're doing Wagyu culottes, so it's a really nice steak that we're doing a couple, you know, slices of with homemade tater tots and a chive cream. And we're going to braise some greens in one of the bourbons. And we're going to use Paula's Donuts and do a maple bread, maple bourbon bread pudding.
Ooh.
For the dessert course. Yeah. So it's, you know, we get to get creative and do some fun stuff still, because I do have very high qualified trained chefs working in the kitchen. And these guys are coming from Oliver's, JT's, yeah, like some of the best establishments in Buffalo. They know how to cook. So to keep them interested, we try to do these cool dinners where they get to, you know, come up with a course and execute it. And it's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Long term, is it in the plans to bring like traditional entrees to the establishment, or are you sticking with wings?
I think we're going to stick with wings. I think Wing Nuts is Wing Nuts, and we're going to be 80% wings all the time. You know, people come here from all over the country, all over the world, even, you know, Australia, Japan, Indonesia, they've been, you know, Africa, Russia, Czechoslovakia, they've all been here. My brother's good friend from Bonaventure was at a bar in Czechoslovakia and saw a sticker on the wall that said size, sauciness, crunch, and then had Ed and Alicia in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. You know what I mean? Like, this is unbelievable. It's literally worldwide.
I ran to these guys. I went to the Patriots game this year, and I'm just talking to these guys at this Irish bar. And we're telling them from Buffalo, and they're like, have you ever heard of Pardon My Take? And they're talking about the Barstool podcast, and I'm like, tell me you're gonna mention Wingnuts. They're like, yeah, you ever been? I'm like, I'm one of the owners. And they're like, no fucking way. And I'm like, yeah. I show them my card, and they're like, holy shit, it's actually the CEO.
That's
like,
amazing.
It's just, and then they're like, how good are the wings? I'm like, you can't describe them. Like, honestly, until you have them, like, they're the best wings you're ever gonna have.
Yeah, and I mean, Christ, you're at the bar with the CEO. You really think he's gonna lie, like, or say anything negative? Like,
right.
Obviously, they're amazing wings. Mm-hmm. That's just so funny. But just a question. This room specifically, has there ever been a conversation between you guys about potentially having a separate menu that's outside of Wingnuts to let your chefs and you guys kind of experiment and do different things that is not the traditional?
So
that you can only get in this room?
We're pretty limited on kitchen space. So the restaurant gets extremely, extremely busy on, you know, the weekend nights, which is the most high demand nights for parties. So we really try to keep everything streamlined and do all the same stuff. So we're not having, if we had a different kitchen or a different prep kitchen where we could execute a menu like that, it would be fine. But like we're at capacity with what we have right now. So for us to even kind of pull off these other dinners, we kind of have to slow down the restaurant so that we can execute these dinners properly so that it's, you know, a good experience for everybody.
Which almost doesn't make any sense. I get it. Because there's establishments in Buffalo that have separate rooms with separate menus, but they're almost always liquid based. Yeah. And it's super simple to do that because, okay, I just need a shelf.
Sure.
Like, yeah, it's more buffet style here. I mean, if somebody wanted to do, you know, surf and turf lobster, like, we could do it. We could execute it. We just have to have proper time, but it's just not really, you know, what we're trying to do here.
Trying to just really stick with what we're good at and what we're famous for.
No, that makes sense.
You know.
So is Munch completely dead?
It's on the back burner, I would say, for now. We're trying to build a system here and kind of come up with a foundation that we can eventually do something with Munch and scale that as well, because this is, you know, we can leverage our publicity with, you know, with Wingnuts and try to do the same with Munch and scale that as well. But it, with the Barstool publicity, it was a million times further ahead than Munch could have ever been.
So what was that like? What was the Barstool publicity like? Oh, we talked about it. So can you just explain a little bit?
Other than exhausting, because obviously it's exhausting.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, it was before we actually partnered with them. It was in 2020. Big Cat and PFT came to Buffalo
and Portnoy.
They said, "Where's the best wings in Buffalo?" And everybody's like, "You gotta go to this Wingnut spot. It's amazing.
It's in the basement of Knights of Columbus."
Yeah. Like, you go in and you're like, "Is there bingo here? I don't even know if I'm here yet." And you just go in there and there's Ed and Alicia, and like, they're the definition of a mom and pop. Just like amazing people, very welcoming.
Salt of the earth.
And like, you come in, they make sure they don't sauce until you get there because they want them like as fresh as possible. And they all ate them, and they're like, "These wings are absolutely amazing." Because they went to a couple other spots. They're like, "Can we come back here tomorrow and do our podcast?" And they're like, "Absolutely." And then from there, it was like gangbusters. I mean, people would be planning trips to go to Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and then flying out. Like, and we still see that a lot. People plan their trips around it. But coming here, Barstool came in August, and the exposure was amazing again.
They've been here five times.
Yeah, they came and they said, I can honestly say the wings are just as good. Because that was like the biggest question. They're like, coming in with new owners, and Ed and Alicia are still very much involved in the process.
That was
you're
the
here
next
on a Friday time. And Saturday, yeah. They're here every day.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And Ed walks around the restaurant talking to everybody, making sure they're happy with their meals, signing shirts, selling sauce, you know, just... He loves his role. He loves what he's doing. He loves talking to people. He's a storyteller. He's a natural storyteller, and he just, it couldn't be a better position for him. He absolutely loves it.
And we haven't changed anything. You know, we haven't changed the product. We haven't gotten smaller wings and cut corners to save on costs. Like, our costs are very high, and that's just the way it's always going to be, because it's always going to be the quality of the food first for the customer.
Why do you think that, like, Buffalo people haven't, because from my perspective, all I hear top, like all of us can name off what everybody thinks are the top wing places.
Sure.
So why do you think that Wingnuts has taken a little bit to get the grasp on the Buffalo market? Because clearly with Barstool coming here, everybody knows outside of Buffalo, but everyone in Buffalo still has their like, this is my go-to place. Is it because you're kind of bastardizing the 100%. Wings?
Yeah. I think we're just at a different level.
Okay.
Right? I think it's hard to compare.
There's nothing to compare it to.
There's no one we really can be compared against.
Gotcha.
And just the way we're executing it, I mean, if you're getting 20 wings, you can split it in fours. Like, we just do things that cater towards the customer, because that's ultimately like what's the most important thing to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to compare. I mean, there's great wings in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You're going to find that a lot of places, but we just really feel like we're on a class of our own.
So you said 14 sauces?
12.
12 sauces.
We have 11 sauces on the menu, and then a special sauce every 2 weeks.
What are your sauces?
We have the Wingnut Signature, the Alicia Sweet Heat, the Ed Sizzlin' Hot, the Hot and Saucy Cajun, Garlic Parm, Sriracha Honey Barbecue, Honey Garlic.
This is a test, so.
Buffalo Medium, Buffalo Mild, and Buffalo Hot.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and
just like
this
the
week
standard.
Our special sauce is the
Mexican
nacho wings
for
Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, we have our wings covered in the nacho accoutrement. Pretty delicious.
We've been dabbling with a little dry rub too.
Oh yeah,
which has been going really well.
That's awesome.
So that's the way that you can creatively put your spin back onto things. Is
of
even
course.
Though you're a wing establishment, these are some crazy sauces that we change all the time.
Yeah,
that's
for
so
sure.
sick.
Yep.
So you don't have to answer this, because it's not like, oh, what's your secret ingredient in the sauce, but it's just as viable of a question in regards to secrecy. Where in the world do you source the wings? Can you even say or no?
Yeah, I mean, we have two food vendors we buy from. It's everybody else buys them too, but we just ask, we tell them, you know, we want under 200 wings per case. And basically most places you go to, they're getting around 230, 240 wings per case. When we serve an order, our wings are about 2.25 pounds. And anywhere else you go to is about 1.5, 1.25. So we're about 0.5 pound to 3/4 of a pound bigger for 10 per 10 wings than most other restaurants.
So it's based on weight.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we don't give you broken bone ones. If one's too small, we won't serve it. We really make sure that if we're going to be serving the wings and we're going to be, you know, living by our motto, size, sauce, and this crunch, that we're going to be delivering on that.
What do you do with the wings that don't meet QC?
Feed them to the staff.
Oh,
eat them.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, well, we do. I mean, we used to use it for the chicken wing dip and chicken wing logs and stuff like that. But now we
picking the meat off of like 12,000 chicken wings gets old.
It was a lot. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
we're going through
sense.
What, like 150 cases now?
A lot. We went through 185 cases of wings last week.
And it's interesting too. Jeez,
it's almost 8,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. It's interesting from like a weight standpoint too, because there was actually complete.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Side note, and not to totally derail the podcast, but it was something that I did research on and dove into, but there was a class action lawsuit with certain grocery stores because the scale on the register at cashout was inaccurate, and it was changing the price at checkout and costing people more money because it was saying that it was over the weight of what it actually was.
Really?
Yeah, so the registers actually got shot down and swapped out because they were defective, but it wasn't caught until somebody went viral showing, like, dude, literally, like, the scale in the... Just say it was produce, right? For sake of conversation, they put six apples on the scale and they said it's like a pound. Then they go to the register and it says it's like 2.5, and they get charged for 2.5 pounds, even though the other scale was saying it was only a pound. So things like that. So
trying to cheat the man.
Yeah. So it's fascinating that you guys are like, listen, dude, like, our cap is 200. So, like, get them in the box, make sure it closes, and it ships correctly and safely. But that's really cool, because then your chefs are essentially, and everyone in the kitchen is the QC to make sure that they're not broken. And, okay, do you have a set of criteria where it's like, this is what we're looking for before
All the wings have to be completely submerged in sauce. There can't be a dry spot on the wing. It gets hard because chicken's a commodity. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's... Chicken is the most fickle product that there is on the market with food. Everything affects the chicken. Oh, the weather, the rain, you know, a storm, bird flu. They could wipe out a whole batch of chickens. I mean, when we started this, chickens were about 65-70 bucks a case. They're over 100 now.
Yeah.
And what we found is that Super Bowl, college basketball, and then Popeyes opened and started, or Popeyes started selling wings. So all the locations at Popeyes took all these cases of wings that weren't in the market, and it drove the demand through the roof. So the price is through the roof right now.
So it wasn't COVID.
COVID, the wings were the cheapest they've ever been when COVID was, like, ending. They were at like 30 to 40. They were less than $1 a pound. And then they tripled, almost quadrupled in price in a year and a half.
Are you just at your desk just, like, shaking your head?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what do I got to do to help?
It's not like we're adjusting the price to rise.
No, we just, we just sell other things. You know what I mean? Yeah. We try to sell more of the other stuff. Sell more pizza, sell more chicken nugget. Like, we got these, you got to try these. These are ridiculous. I'll have them bring some out at the end. But we found these, like, chicken nuggies almost, but they're like quality white meat nuggies. And we've been selling those like crazy. We got a great deal on them. They're really good. I can't call them boneless wings anymore, I guess. There was a big lawsuit about calling them boneless
wings.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
They're like giant popcorn chicken.
It's good. They're super, so good. We've been blowing through
these
things.
Why can't you call them boneless chicken?
Wild Wings just got sued.
Yeah, they had some lawsuit
for saying like, wings always have bones or something like that. And,
wow.
You
know, weird.
It was like the hot coffee from McDonald's thing. You know what I mean? Like, somebody got roasted. It was just...
It is kind of crazy, though, because you almost feel like you're going to get made fun of. Like, oh, what'd you eat for lunch? Like, oh, I went to Wingnuts. It's like, oh, which one did you get? It's like, I got a pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how do you have that conversation?
Yeah, it's funny, but we just have something for everybody, you know? Primarily, everybody comes here and gets the wings, you know?
It's correct. Like, it's not wood.
What do you guys have that's good? And it's like, oh, the burger's great, you know? It's like, you know, we do have a Wagyu burger. It's excellent, but the wings are what you're here for.
Yeah. Is it wood-fired or stove pizza?
Stove.
Or oven pizza.
Brick oven. Okay. Yeah, it's just a regular brick oven.
I mean, really regular brick oven. Like, there's stipulations to that. Did you import this thing?
It's a blodgett.
It's a blodgett, not a brick oven. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just your standard pizza oven. You know? But it's
like traditional Buffalo style pizza.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. You know, we do a little bit sweeter of a sauce, and then we also have a traditional sauce. I love the sweet sauce, and then we also use a mozzarella provolone blend, which is a little different from most of the places around here. It kind of smells like a fart when you open the box, but in a good way.
That's the best kind of cheese.
It's the best.
Yeah, you know? 100%.
It's stringier. It's got way more flavor to it. Yep. It's just, you know, we garlic oil the crust. It's really, really good.
That's awesome.
Again, I feel like a wing in a pizza place, just like, they, if they get a good wing and they make a good wing and they just run with it, they don't change anything. I see a lot of pizza places where they're just like set in their ways of, this is what we offer, we don't change anything because it's been successful. And the fact that you're talking about, you have two different types of sauces, you use this different cheese, like, it's really interesting to get a chef's perspective on pizza and wings, because sure. that doesn't exist here that much.
Well, also, too, us, I mean, all of us at this table growing up, you went to a different place because you wanted a different taste. Mm-hmm. So you're like, all right, I'm in the mood for Pizza Hut because I just want their crust. Right, or like the buffet back in the day, and you just want to be an animal.
You read all your books for the month, and you got a free pizza. Yeah,
exactly. You know
what I mean? I just wanted a salad bar, man. Yeah,
the salad bar was the best. It had French dressing. It was awesome. Yeah, a little volcano with the tomato on top.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then it's like, well, I just want something super simple, so you get Little Caesars, because then you can also, like, you can just stack on cheesy bread, and then you're like, well, I don't have a lot of money at the end of the week, so I'm just going to get Domino's because I still want pizza, but it's quick and it's not huge. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted to get bougie, then you dove into, like, the actual other pizzerias in the area, sure. whether it was Blaisdell or Bella or whatever the case. But for you guys to,
great
like,
places.
Yeah, to, like, make everything gourmet, in a sense, and elevate the menu of, yeah, we have wings, but they're not. Like, that's the part that's driving everybody here. Because
yes,
you're
hopefully.
Getting a massive wing that's
And that's
different.
The part that's interesting, because, like, you yeah. have, in Buffalo, we just have different types of pizza. We have the flatbread, we have the Italian, we have the Detroit, but we don't have a gourmet pizza.
Sure.
Like, we have a pizza that's stuffed with chicken fingers, but you don't have, like, a gourmet-style pizza,
well,
which,
no,
that's so cool.
It is, because the only, like, gourmet thing is just, there's a dude that was local, he went to Italy, learned how to make pizzas,
but that's
came
still
here,
traditional
oh,
Italian
pizza. What's that?
Jay's Artisan?
Yeah. So like,
awesome pizza.
Right. So you have Jay's, which is like authentic ingredients from Italy, and that's what makes it what it is.
Yeah.
But we actually worked with Jay, too.
Yeah. He helped us develop our pizza dough. Yeah, he's really, really
that's
great.
So cool.
Yeah. He's a total bro. Like,
really nice.
super
cool.
knowledgeable, super good dude. Yep. And like, which also, side note, that's what makes Buffalo Buffalo. It's like every other person that might be involved in like the all network, and they can just help each other. That's awesome.
Sure.
But to make an actual gourmet pizza, that's completely different from what Buffalo's used to, which is probably why Barstool's been here 5 times.
Sure.
That's insane.
I tried switching up the pepperoni and getting away from the cup and char, and then the market revolted.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I had to go back to the cup and char. I was like, you know what?
There's some staples you have to keep.
Yeah, you know, I try to get, like, I like cup and char, don't get me wrong, but we found this really good Ezzo pepperoni. It's all natural from Italy. It's, like, really good. No carcinogens and none of the bad stuff. Everybody here's like, we want the bad stuff.
Yeah, give us the cancer. Give us the cancer when it comes to pizza. We'll take it.
Yeah, I want my grease cup.
I don't have to dab this. Like, what are you doing?
So this location, this has to be different, though, from the one that you have in Froth Brewing, right? Like, you can't do the same level of supply that you can there, right?
Oh, it's wild.
Yeah, so, I mean, our kitchen's actually much bigger here. There's only about 200 square feet over at Froth. Mm-hmm. So it's mostly fryers and a flat top. Here, we do have a lot more versatility. And including the banquet and the patio, we can sit 3:30 in this place. So
wow.
Full service. It really gives us the ability to do live music, host our own events, and just really make it our own.
Mm-hmm. Not to get, like, really, like, strange, but how does truck work? Like, you're so close. Like, where does a truck go to unload all the ingredients?
Oh, we have a back door.
Yeah.
The back door of the kitchen.
Yep.
That's all the way, because isn't this like a strip plaza type situation?
Yeah, but there's a whole back to it also. We have a back door, walk-in cooler, huge dumpster area, all that stuff. That's
yeah, because they have like 195 units above, and they all enter through the back.
Yeah,
that's wild.
That's where the triad apartments are.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's where all the beer vendors call us at 7:30 in the morning. We're like, we're not here till 8, buddy. Get back in your truck.
Get back in the truck.
Yeah,
go get a cup of coffee.
That's awesome. So we talked about the bourbon event that you have coming up. What other events do you have coming up, or what's next for you guys? We talked about the couple locations, the one in Froth, the one here. What's the address here again?
1402 Millersport Highway.
So, like, what's next for you guys? Are you just kind of just trying to maintain what you have here, or are there future plans?
To expand,
yeah, so a couple things that we're doing. We're doing collaborative events with Resurgence Brewing in June, July, and then we're also going to do another pop-up out in Rochester in August, right around training camp. In regards to our plans in the short term, we're looking at a location in New York City and also the Bronx right now. Probably be opening that probably by July or August.
Okay.
Where right now we're in the process of co-packing our sauces. And then we also have a South Towns location. We can't reveal where it is. It's pretty close to the stadium. We really, really like it a lot. We're just kind of figuring out the logistics with an architect, because we're probably going to have to do a build out of the kitchen there. But if it all goes well there, we would have like 300 parking spot, a complete all-in tailgate package. So we're really looking at expanding not only to New York City in the short term, but also the South Towns. That's really on our mark.
Was the New York City expansion because of Barstool?
No, not necessarily. Okay, no. It's just it has a really, you know, good reach to the market, and it's through like a ghost kitchen model, so it will be different than this. It won't be a full service. We do aspire to eventually get one, hopefully, in the future there, but it's really simple. You get three or four cooks, crank out the food. We have an exclusive relationship with Uber Eats and Cloud Kitchen, so it really allows us to be able to scale not only to, you know, something within like 6 hours away, but all up and down the East Coast.
That's sweet. From a South Towns guy, I genuinely appreciate you guys coming to the South Towns, because a lot of businesses that are located in the North Towns say, we're going to open our next location in downtown. I'm like, well, that doesn't really help me. Right. Like, being in the South Towns, Hamburg, Orchard Park, Murrilla, Alma, like, we love having businesses come to the South Towns. And there's always this divide of, like, downtown, we don't cross it. Like, South Towns businesses don't go north, and the same the other way. So, seriously, thank you guys for opening a location in South Towns, because I will be there every day.
Even this location, I mean, we looked at a couple other locations where Amherst Buffet went in. We looked at that before them. We loved it. It was just a huge build-out, and it was just not exactly what we were looking for. And even in the South Towns, there's so many restaurants available in the Hamburg area. We just want to be really close to the stadium.
Sure.
Being right in OP is going to be key for us.
I mean, to be fair, the entire Bills team is going to show up after the game, so make sure you have like late hours or figure that out.
But 7 days a week, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So how does, to answer the concerns per se, we have businesses that go from, like, I don't know, far-off suburbs, and they go to the North Towns, and everyone's like, how is it going to stack? Are the ingredients going to be the same? How does their food going to taste? Like, is it going to differ because they're further away? How does that work when you're legitimately going to the other side of the state? Is there any concerns there? Do you guys have a plan for that? Was that a conversation?
Yeah, we definitely have a plan for that. We're working with a really good company to make sure that our sauces are made the exact same every time, that they're consistent. The sampling of the sauces, like, we're really stringent on what we'll accept. Because, you know, when you're scaling, they do have to add some additives and things like that so that it's shelf stable and stuff. So, like, trying to make sure the sauce tastes perfect before we decide on something, so that when we do scale, it's quite literally, this is our process, here's a procedure, do this to the wings, drop them for this amount of time at this temperature, pull them up and put them in the sauce, and that's it. You know, we're going to sell wings and fingers and French fries out of our place, and, you know, across the state. And then if that builds up to the point where we're going to open our own location down there, our chef will go down there and train everybody, and he'll be on board with, you know, getting everybody up and ready to operate. And he's excellent at that. So we're really, you know, not super concerned about it.
And from a logistics end, we're still using the same food vendors.
Yeah.
So, like, true. Regardless if it's in Florida or if it's in New York City, we're still able to get the same product. So it's not going to force us, like we talked about earlier, to get, you know, case counts where it's like 290 wings or something like that, because it's just not what we're going to do ever.
Did you say Florida for sake of conversation, or just because you're also thinking
Florida's
about it?
Florida's on our radar.
Florida's
sure.
definitely on our radar.
Florida's always been on his radar. 2 years ago, he was talking about Munch, Florida.
Yeah. I mean, look at his shirt.
we like the, you know, the warmer environment for sure. Yeah. But it's just beautiful down there, and a lot of people have gone. Even like, you know, Charlotte, it's like the Buffalo of the South. It's just a beautiful area. People that go down there with the New York. Mindset, it just really, really makes a big difference when you go down there, because things are a little bit slower down there, and they're not as aggressive to open businesses and try and, you know, build their keep down there. And we feel Florida's going to be really, really instrumental to our future.
You said that Ed and Sue was
Alicia.
Are very involved and still here.
Oh, yeah.
Do they look at the expansion opportunities, and are they hesitant because they like to keep it local, or are they excited for the brand to grow?
They're super excited. That's
they're ready awesome. To go
down
global.
For the cause. They know what they had. When we first met, when we were kind of talking to them about scaling this, I said, you've got the biggest fish in the ocean. Let us be your Captain Ahab and your boat, lifeline, and let's get this thing landed, because we can take this. Mm-hmm. We have investors, we have chefs, we have two kitchens. We can really, really, really help you put this on the map even more than you already have. And that was music to their ears. That's what they were looking to hear. They knew this was going to go global. They're very, very God-fearing Christians. I'd praise to God every night for the success that he's had and the success that we've had as a business. And, you know, he believes in this 100%. He believes in what we're doing, and he's super excited to be along for the ride.
That's incredible.
Just to add on to that, so, I mean, they had a great product. They were doing well in the Knights of Columbus. but it was just the two of them, right? And they're in their 60s. There's only so much they could scale. Like, our chefs, they run circles around them just because these guys have been doing it forever. So once they saw how we could scale the operation.
And that we cared about the quality.
Right. And that was the biggest thing. They go, no matter where we go, like, Ed will show up in the kitchen, and if it's not up to par, you know, he's going to be like, this is what we need to change and get it adjusted immediately. But, yeah, we really hold a high, high standard. And, again, they're not in the back making the sauces and cooking the wings. Yeah. They're more of our brand ambassadors now. But they come to all of our meetings. You know, they come to our expansion meetings. When we opened the new locations, they were here with the big giant scissors. Alicia was here cutting the ribbon. So, yeah, they're very much in the mix, and they're great partners. They really add a lot of value, not so much on the back end of the cooking, but more on the front end and the faces of the brand.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. Because not only is it going to be potentially more travel for you guys downstate just to, like, check in, I don't know, like, once a quarter. I'm sure that, like, makes sense to you guys.
Oh, we love New York City. We the food every time. Man. Yeah, it's amazing.
There. You look like you're from New York City, so that's
I appreciate that.
Staten Island, I can see
I move that fast.
Every time we go, it's like, it's tradition. We have to go to Peter Luger's. The steak is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
every time.
That tracks.
I know the answer to this just because of the Barstool publicity, but was there ever any hesitation of keeping the Wingnuts name and changing it to Munch, or like,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Just not at all.
It was just people had heard that name. Millions of 30 million people, they're saying, heard that name. And it's like, we would be morons to try to change it.
We did rebrand the logo a little bit and the colors. That was the one thing we did change.
Up a bit.
Yeah. But besides that, everything's pretty standard.
When you had Munch, were you thinking about something like this? Like, what was your your 5-year plan for Munch?
We were gonna open our own location, do a bunch of catering, kind of, you know, cool sandwiches and things like that. Eventually, open our own full service. But it was just, again, it was just the opportunity. Chris called me and he goes, AJ, I just talked to Ed and Alicia from Wingnuts. They don't know if they're gonna reopen. Let's see if we can make this happen. He's like, I'm telling you right now, you got to try these wings. It's something special. And I mean, it's infinitely scalable. You go anywhere on the planet and put a chicken wing down in front of someone, they know what to do with it. You know, and it's like Asia, Africa, wherever you go, chicken is a primary food source. Yeah. And chicken wings, you know, breaded, battered, raw, naked, indifferent. People dip them in hot sauce and slurp them down, you know, and it's just that's how they get eaten. So it was just to us, it was a no-brainer. This is scalable. You can take chicken wings anywhere on the planet. Barstool's got the backing, or they got the backing of Barstool, and we were just, you know, when we finally came to terms, I can't even explain to you how busy it got. We had, in one day, we sold 10,000 chicken wings to Green Bay fans, and they were parked around the block, down the street, eating off the hoods of their cars like a tailgate. There was a line out the door. The smoke from the fryers filled the whole building. We couldn't cook enough wings. We went through, and we've had busier days since then, but that just gave us like, okay, we did the right thing. Like, you know, it was back to back weeks. Green Bay, then the next week it was Minnesota, same thing. We have a chalk wall that you can sign. In 2 weeks, they filled the entire thing up, but we had to paint it both weeks because it was completely full of signatures from all the fans.
Just wait until you're in Orchard Park.
I can't
wait.
You
guys aren't going to be able to breathe.
That's the plan, Stan.
That's what we want. I mean, it was sad to put Munch to bed because we built it literally from the ground up. I mean, the logo,
was our baby.
The brand,
everything.
Like, we really, really put that on the map. We had two locations very quickly. But within 3 months, things were going really well. But like AJ said, the Wingnuts opportunity, I mean, they were probably 10 years ahead of us. And I don't know if we would have ever scaled Munch Buffalo out of Buffalo, truthfully. Yeah. So it's good to have it on the back burner if we want to do crazy caterings or a wedding or something like that. We did that last summer for a friend of mine, and the food was just incredible. We can still do stuff like that. But now if somebody's looking for catering, we can just do the Munch stuff.
Yeah.
Or we can still do the Wingnuts stuff. People want pizza, wings, fried food.
Well, that's why I'm really happy that you're still expressing your creativity through the sauces and then also doing these 5-course dinners, because you do have an insanely amazing style of cooking.
Thank you.
And taking that and bringing it to wings, but then also still kind of offering it on the side, like this little 5-course thing, like that's what makes you guys special and stand out from like Joe's Pizza Shack on the corner. Obviously, I'm not going to shout out another competitor, but like that type of place on the corner that's just serving pizza and wings. Like, that's what makes you guys special, and I'm really happy that you're sticking to that.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. This place is amazing.
Yeah.
So what else did you want to touch on that we haven't touched on yet?
I think that, you know, we're about to open our patio. We're going to have a new cocktail menu starting next week. We're going to have some really good bourbons, really good tequilas, awesome beers, 41 different selections. We got all the bottles that you could ever think of, great seltzers. So it's just, we have something for everyone. You know, not just pizza, not just wings. We have burgers, we have sandwiches, we have subs and tacos. And we also have, you know, a drink for everybody. You know, it messed around with the idea of doing some mocktails, but every time we do, no one orders them.
we got NA beer.
We have NA beer. Yeah. Yeah. There
you go. And but, you know, with the location here, it's a great environment. It's a family-friendly environment. We have the Buffalo Bills in regularly. We have the Buffalo Bandits. We have Sabres. We're bringing in people from all over. Last year for the playoffs, the number one news team from Kansas City came in and did a whole special here in the back. And it's a really, really good environment. The BuzzFeed guys were just in, like we were talking to you before with Dawson Knox. That was really, really cool. He's a great guy. So we're just going to continue to keep growing. We don't want to oversaturate the market here in Buffalo. We think our end game in Buffalo would probably be this location and a Southtowns location. But our goal is to have 50 in 5 years up and down the East Coast. We want to hit Pittsburgh, Cleveland, New York City, D.C., Charlotte, Fort Myers, sure. Fort Lauderdale, Miami. Like, it really, the sure, scale so. Is he goes, just get there. Me anywhere near, I can go fishing. That's all he wants.
Hell yeah.
He wants to wake up. But yeah, we really have a big scaling plan, and we're already in the process of working with franchisees already. So, you know, as we grow, it's not going to always be our locations, but like any franchise program, it's going to be a really strict contingent thing where if you're not going to stay within the parameters of the franchise, we'll take it back over. But as we scale, we hope to open probably like 5 to 8 ourselves, and then, you know, have franchisees kind of take the rest of that for us.
That's so sick. Yeah, so that's awesome. Where can people follow you? Social media, where, what's that?
At Wingnuts Buffalo. Yeah. On all the social medias.
And our website, wingnutsbuffalo.com. If you have any interest in catering, private events, not only on the patio, but also in room 40, contact us there, and we'd love to host your next event here.
Love that.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you so much. This is a pleasure. It's always interesting talking to you. Hopefully you stick with this one. Munch isn't going anywhere. Hopefully that gets back at some point. But seriously, thank you so much for your time today. I can't wait to try these wings. Definitely put in an order because we're going to buy some before we leave here today. And let's party a little bit. Thank
Sounds
you.
Good,
appreciate
man.
It.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks, right. guys.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.